Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Well, you may not laugh, but you may figure out why humor is important from multiple points of view. We're so fortunate today to have a nationally recognized comedian and writer, Amar Zar, who will share his wit and wisdom. He's an Arab-American comedian, speaker, writer, adjunct professor at the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law, and has been around the world, John Kennedy Center, Carnegie Hall, sharing his humor and his insights, because humor has several effects. So, Amar, thanks for being with us today and taking time out of your busy schedule. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal and professional journey and how you got to be a writer and comedian?
Well, you know, I was a good, little Arab kid, getting good grades in school, went to college, was actually going to be a doctor. That was what I thought I was going to be. And I was a chemistry major for a little while, like my dad. And then I decided that I wasn't very good at that, or my grades decided I wasn't very good at that. Then I became a history major, really loved that. And went on to get a master's degree in Middle East studies, and I was in law school, and I was going to be a lawyer. And then in 2000, I think about 2002 or 2003, there was an Arab-American group at the University of Michigan where I was studying law, bringing in a comedian. And he was coming alone, and they kind of asked around to the community. They said, hey, does anybody want to get on stage and just, you know, fill some time? Because, you know, we need to fill some time at the show. And I said, sure, I'll try. So I went up, I got up, I told a couple stories about my dad. People laughed. And I kind of got hooked to the idea of, doing comedy and getting out there talking about our culture and our experiences. And then later it morphed into politics and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how it started. I finished law school. So I'm, you know, my mom still tells people I'm a lawyer. So I finished law school, and I still kept doing work in what I did and writing and academically and that kind of stuff. But I mean, my gig is comedy. I'm a comedian. I travel the country and the world, perform comedy, and people pay me to tell jokes. So it's a pretty good life.
Well, it's more than telling jokes. What happens is you're alleviating people out of their personal routine, perhaps even out of their own depression. And from what I've gathered and from what I've heard, is you inform them about something that is not common in the media, and that is the beauty of the Palestinian people, the beauty of Arabs in general, and that very few people get to know this from the current media. And so I think that is your thrust. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically, comedy is my tool to tell our story, to humanize us more. I mean, comedy has this very humanizing effect. And it has a very, it has this very strong effect to make people listen. I mean, if you can make somebody laugh, they immediately become comfortable with you, and they immediately, you know, listen to what you're saying. And it kind of speeds up a relationship, right? It speeds up the intimacy to which you can reach with somebody or a group of people. That's what comedy does. I mean, and it's only because the comedian is kind of laying himself bare to his audience. And so that's what I try to do in telling our story, talking about the high points, the low points, and what makes people laugh the most is kind of the absurdity, right? I mean, if you think of Arab American or Muslim American life in America or the Palestinian situation, it's mostly characterized by absurdity in the ways that we are treated by the media, absurdity in the actual facts of the situation. And that's what a comedian does, kind of points out hypocrisy, absurdity, ridiculousness in life, and makes us laugh at it. And by laughing at it, we kind of disarm the absurdity, right? And so in a Palestinian context, if I can make jokes about my oppressor, that kind of really disarms his power. That kind of makes his power over me much less than what it might normally be. So that's kind of what I'm trying to achieve.
Well, kind of being a Jewish raconteur myself, not certainly of eminent quality, what I have recognized is that Jews are able to laugh at themselves and able to tell things. And by providing your vulnerability it becomes very honest, and so that it becomes understandable and real when you talk about the values of the Arab culture that have given us so much in the Middle Ages, when Paris was dark and no one could read.
Right.
And it was the Arabs that preserved the Greek and Roman literature. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a proud history. And, you know, it doesn't, and you don't even have to go back, you know, that far. I mean, you can. But even 40, 50 years ago, Arab civilization was wildly different than it is today. And we know that, and many of us lived through that. But I think that, you know, comedy is also a reclamation of some of that history and some of that pride, right? And it's a way to kind of talk about your story. It universalizes kind of the story, because laughter is universal in that way. That is something we have very much. That is something I think today's crop of, which is not a large crop, but today's crop of Arab American and Muslim American comedians have in common with the Jewish American comedians of the 50s and 60s and such that were coming up in America. Right. It was a way to kind of tell your story and show that you are as much a part of the fabric as anybody else. And laughter has that real effect. And it's an emotion that's very interesting, right? Because a lot of the things that we talk about, that even many minority comedians have talked about in America, are kind of deeper, heavy issues. And you're bringing laughter to them. And these are issues that are normally sad. And people usually think laughter and sadness are different emotions, you know. In my experience, they're not that weird, because you know we've all seen somebody laugh so much that they start crying, but you might also see somebody crying so hard that they start laughing. And so I think the kind of emotions that are brought up by this outpouring are not that different. So that's why it's so easy sometimes, I think, to laugh at things that otherwise would be so sad and absurd. But if framed in a certain way, you can disarm kind of the power of these things by laughing at them. And that's what the comedian has to do. And then the comedian's job is also, like you said, to be very honest, very vulnerable, very transparent, because the comedian has a different relationship with his audience than, let's say, a singer. So a singer can create great emotion in his audience. But if you're listening to a singer, you don't necessarily assume that she wrote the song, that she wrote the word. You just know that she's performing it. But when a comedian's up there, you assume that he's laying his soul bare to you. You assume that he's the writer, that he's the producer, he's the director, he's that lead actor. He's doing everything. And so, and the audience expects that. That's why they create such a close relationship with the comedian. And I really love kind of fostering that relationship in my show.
Well, you know, this is like dredging the soul, and
right.
Which is actually a way of healing. A way of getting to the core of things people trap inside themselves. Obviously, your humor opens people's eyes, that you open audiences' eyes to what you're saying. And have you seen that?
Yeah, I mean, I see people, you know, it happens in many different ways, right? So whether it's Arab or Palestinian or Muslim audiences coming up to me and saying, hey, thanks for saying the things that I wish I could say, or I don't know how to say in the way that you're saying it. Or whether it's, you know, white American audiences coming up and saying, hey, you know, I never thought of it that way. I never saw how ridiculous or absurd the treatment of Arabs and Muslims in the media was until you brought it up. Or whether it's even sometimes Jewish or even Israelis coming up to me after shows and saying, you know, that's something I've never heard before. And sometimes it comes in a way that, you know, I was giving a show at a talk at a Jewish community center about a year ago in Michigan. And after the talk, you know, I was telling jokes. We were actually talking about the Israeli elections, because I just got asked to come talk about it.
We're running out of time, Amer. So
okay.
You know what? I'm going to have you back and just take over the whole show. You know, next time you just come back and do your routine, and everybody can laugh instead of have to listen to me. Dr. Rob Abel.
I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Be well and stay well.